Welcome in to the Cyclone Alert Cyclone Scoop Podcast. Michael Swain here, the Iowa State beat writer for 247 Sports. Really excited to have this medium back after a little bit of a hiatus, and really excited for what we have kind of coming up here in the coming weeks and months for our plan with the podcast. Obviously, you'll hear from me. On occasion, we'll do solo podcasts like we will today. We'll also have times where we'll talk to recruits, other coaches, and we'll really lean on the 247 Sports Network in terms of other team sites and some of the analysts that we have at our disposal. In terms of what you can expect, we'll have a weekly podcast from now until the start of football season. At that point, we'll transition into twice a week with doing some recap podcasts after Iowa State football games. But in the meantime, this will be a fun little medium for us to kind of dive into some more topics in a more long form format rather than kind of the specific articles we do over at Cyclone Alert. Today, we'll focus specifically on the Iowa State roster, the addition of Isaiah Brockington, and more so what TJ Alsberger has been able to do in the first kind of 6 weeks to 2 months of his tenure. But with that said, let's get started.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, it has been a very eventful 2 months for TJ Alsberger and his coaching staff since they took over for Steve Prohme in mid-March. We've seen five players enter the transfer portal and look to go elsewhere. We've also seen plenty of players commit to Iowa State and Iowa State announce their signings. So you've seen the likes of Rasir Bolton, Tyler Harris, Darlinstone Dubar, Dudley Blackwell, Jalen Coleman Lands enter the transfer portal. And you've seen Iowa State bring in some really good gets in terms of transfers. You think about Gabe Kauscher out of Minnesota. Isaiah Brockington is the most recent one out of Penn State. We'll hit on him specifically in just a little bit, but you've also got the likes of Aljaz Kuntz out of Washington State, Robert Jones out of Denver, and of course, Caleb Grill from UNLV and Tristan Enaruna out of Kansas. But before we dive into some of the specifics of the new roster pieces that we get to cover now, let's talk about Isaiah Brockington in particular. He's the newest addition. He committed to Iowa State on May 5th. He had some interest from Arkansas specifically. Wake Forest was another program that was up there for Brockington, but this was one of those that was maybe a little bit different in terms of Iowa State. You look at maybe the profile of players that they've gone after. It's been a lot of the Midwest guys with ties to TJ Alsberger in particular. You look at Robert Jones, for example, out of Denver. He had a relationship with Kyle Green, the assistant coach from UNI who joined TJ Alsberger's staff. He played a part in getting Robert Jones, Gabe Kauscher on campus. Of course, Caleb Grill has known TJ Alsberger for years, has committed to him multiple times now. But Brockington was a little bit different. He's from the East Coast, got his college career started at St. Bonaventure before transferring to Penn State, where he played for two seasons. Of course, Penn State had a coaching change after Pat Chambers was let go. And now Brockington was kind of an interesting scenario where he entered the transfer portal earlier this spring, decided to remove his name from the transfer portal, but then put it in once again and decided he was going to look elsewhere. And this is a big pickup for Iowa State because I think if you look at the roster in a big picture sense, he really does fill a need. You know, Iowa State in general does not have a super veteran roster. You look up and down it, not a ton of guys have been there and done that at the high major level. You can look at Gabe Kauscher as being really the only guy in terms of some of the additions outside of Brockington that's done it at that level. You know, Tyrese Hunter, we don't know what he's going to be like. There's a lot of reasons to be positive about what he could be like, but we don't know what he's going to look like in general. We don't know if Blake Hinson's going to be available for Iowa State this winter, even though there's reason to believe that he will be available. Still no official word on that. And then you look at kind of the other bench players, and it's really guys that were either a part of this 2-22 team a year ago, or they're guys that were bench players at other programs that are now going to look to either take a step up in role or kind of serve at the same role, but at a higher level. So I think Brockington brings a level of experience to Iowa State that maybe it didn't have before he was added. You know, he's going to come to Iowa State with over 90 games of college experience under his belt, someone that is going to have 2 years of eligibility remaining. And so he's going to be one of those guys that I think will be one of the veteran leaders of the team, along with Gabe Kalscher. I think those two, if you're looking at maybe a leadership structure of the program, I think those two are going to be very important pieces. Now, if we're going to talk specifically about maybe Brockington's game, we have a story up on CycloneAlert.com for our VIP subscribers that looks at some of the analytics behind Brockington's junior season at Penn State. I'll save some of the specific numbers there for the subscribers and those that want to read that story. But in short, he's someone that, in terms of his scoring ability, has an interesting scoring profile. He's not a great shooter, you know, a career 27% three-point shooter while he was at Penn State. What I find interesting with Brockington is that when he was at St. Bonaventure in the A-10 conference, he was a 41% shooter as a true freshman. And then he transfers to Penn State, and then the last two seasons, that three-point percentage dipped all the way down to sub 30%. So he's someone that, in terms of his scoring ability, does a lot of it inside the arc. You know, he's someone that averaged 12.6 points a game for Penn State, which is a big deal. Anytime you can add a double-digit score at the high major level, that's a big deal. So I think he's someone that, in terms of his scoring prowess, will bring that. He is a really good rebounder. You know, you look at his number, despite being a kind of a 6'4" guard, he's someone that averaged nearly 5 rebounds a game. So he's going to fill the need of a scorer. He's going to help Iowa State on the glass. And then defensively, and this is some of the things that the metrics maybe don't grasp as well as maybe the overall impact of a defender, because, you know, schemes change, the way you approach things change. And for Brockington, it seems like that he's someone that is a plus defender at 6'4", someone that can guard, you know, anywhere from like a 1 through a 3, depending on kind of what a team is playing. If you're thinking of, for example, we think about Oklahoma State this past season and what they looked like with Cade Cunningham, sometimes playing almost like the fourth biggest guy on the floor, he could maybe guard someone like that. So he's a versatile piece for Iowa State, going to bring a lot of experience and a really big addition that will really pair well with Gabe Kalscher and Tyrese Hunter. Now that brings me into maybe the overall construction of the roster for TJ Altzelberger early on in his tenure. It seems like they've really embraced the idea of being an active team defensively. You look at the additions that they've brought in. Gabe Kalscher is a really good defender, someone that was kind of his calling card while at Minnesota, was he was going to be the guy that guarded the best player on the opposing team. And it seems like he will at least do that on the perimeter while at Iowa State. Brockington, we talked about him and his ability to defend. Then you've got someone like Tyrese Hunter, who isn't necessarily blessed with long arms and, you know, exuberant length, but he's got the athleticism and I think the mentality to be a really good defender. And so in terms of the guard position, then you look at maybe on the bench, you've got a Jaden Walker who's got long arms, who's got length, who will hopefully take a step forward this offseason after getting to contribute a season ago. You've got Caleb Grill. We'll be interesting to see what he looks like after getting a season at UNLV where he was able to get a lot more playing time. In coming back to Iowa State, he's not going to play 30 minutes a game, I don't anticipate. So it'll be interesting to see maybe what his adaptation looks like coming back to the Big 12 level and what that role looks like in particular. Then, of course, you've got Trey Jackson at the guard position as well, someone that is a pretty good defender. I think at times, maybe last year, looked like he would get a little lost on the defensive end, but someone that I think, you know, has the right mentality and has the right aggressiveness when he's guarding on the ball to be a decent on-ball defender. Now, I think if you're going to group up the roster as a whole, I think you could probably separate it kind of into four separate categories at this point. I think you've got kind of your ball handlers, which will be Tyrese Hunter and Jaden Walker. I think those are probably the two guys that will quote unquote be the point guards, if you will. I think Caleb Grill could fit into that, but I think personally, I would probably tab Jaden Walker ahead of Caleb Grill in terms of being a ball handling type. In terms of Jaden Walker, it'd be interesting to see kind of how he does. You know, the shot wasn't pretty at times and he was a little turnover prone, but maybe with a different role and a different offense in general, maybe he's able to flourish. So you've got those two as maybe your ball handlers. And then you look down a little bit. I think you could probably classify these next four players as maybe your off-ball scoring guards. So that's going to be Brockington. That's going to be Gabe Kalscher. That's going to be Caleb Grill. And then I'm going to put Trey Jackson in this group, even though he's not someone that is necessarily a high volume scorer like the aforementioned three are, but he's someone that I think falls into that off ball category on offense, just because in terms of his playmaking ability, I don't think we saw a ton of that last year. I think he's better as an off ball guy that can either attack closeouts. If he gets open threes, take them, but not necessarily someone that's going to be filling up the scoring sheet with the ball in his hand. Now, when it comes to Kalscher, in terms of his shooting, that's a big thing that I'll be watching early on this season. Getting to talk to him a little bit after he committed, it seems like he believes that the shooting problems at Minnesota were due to his confidence. You know, he himself said that he feels like his shooting form is really good and really solid. And talked to a few people that are probably more in the know in terms of fundamentals and shooting form and things like that. And they said that, you know, Kalscher really does have a clean stroke. So it could come down to just how he does mentality wise. And that's something that he mentioned, was that having belief from the coaching staff would really help him to have confidence in himself, which will then allow him to shoot the ball better. And in his time at Minnesota, he went from a 41% three-point shooter as a freshman down to 24.5% as a junior. That's just a drastic drop. And I think that getting a change of scenery, a new program, a new place, a new coaching staff, new players, I think that will do him a lot of good in terms of shooting the basketball. Now, moving down, we've gone over kind of the ball handlers and then the off-ball scoring guards. I think you've got a few really interesting wing pieces on this team. Let's start off with Blake Hinson, because I think his case is fascinating in terms of what his fall is going to look like. And let's go back a little bit. Before last season, it was announced that he would miss the year due to medical issues unrelated to COVID-19. He then was back in Florida for the fall semester before reporting to Ames last January. At that time, Steve Prohm said that he would be doing individual work on his own and wouldn't be a part of team activities. Now, this summer, in some of the videos that Iowa State basketball has posted, it looks like Blake Hinson is back doing workouts with the team. So it seems like from afar, that would be an encouraging step. We'll have to see if he's cleared ahead of the season. TJ Alsberger said he wasn't sure if he would be cleared when we talked to him last, which would have been in early April. But if Hinson's able to play, someone that's versatile, he's 6'8", can shoot it a little bit, even though his numbers did drop at Ole Miss. He's someone that shot a high volume at Ole Miss, so it'll be interesting to see maybe what his shot selection and shot profile looks like. If he's someone that's asked to take, you know, kind of near double-digit shots a game, or if he's someone that's asked to take maybe 5 or 6 shots a game. He's a wing piece that I think could fit anywhere, maybe from like the 2 through 4. Then you've got, of course, Javen Johnson, who was on the team last year. I'm interested to see what Javen Johnson looks like with the new offensive system, because he was someone that I think had some positive moments in his time last year, but I think too often maybe forced jump shots, tried to take really tough three-point shots, and really just relied on inefficient looks as a whole. But I think he's someone that with his length, with his athleticism, if you can maybe hone that skill set a little bit in this offseason and heading into next season, I think that's an intriguing player there. Though I don't think maybe his ceiling is as high as a Hinson or a Tristan Ennerunna. And speaking of Ennerunna, I recorded a video podcast for our VIP subscribers, but I really do feel like Ennerunna is someone that I personally don't think should start early on. And we'll save some of the rotation conversation for another day and some of the minute allocation for another time. But I think Ennerunna is someone that could find his footing maybe in his first season with Iowa State and really develop into a Big 12 quality and potentially even NBA caliber player. He's long, 6'7", 6'8", got long arms, someone that I think brings a level of intangible to the Iowa State roster in terms of his ability athletically, his feel for the game. It may just take him a minute to get adapted to playing big time minutes at the Big 12 level, because at Kansas, he wasn't really able to maybe find himself on the floor like some of us would have expected. He struggled to get consistent playing time due to a number of reasons. I think the Kansas teams of recent haven't maybe lend themselves to developmental minutes, just because there aren't many blowouts. There aren't many times where you feel comfortable running with a Tristan Anaruna and letting him work through his mistakes. So I think he qualifies as one of those kind of wing players that could play the three or the four for Iowa State. And then you look down at kind of the big men. You've got your four bigs, which will be Xavier Foster, George Condit, Aljaz Kuntz, and then Robert Jones. With them, it'll be really interesting to see kind of how that rotation ends up ironing out. Of course, you would assume that Xavier Foster is going to start after having offseason foot surgery. He's back out of the boot now. He is able to kind of start doing on-court work as of mid-May. So for him, getting a full offseason will be important, and making sure that he's able to hit the ground running figuratively and literally this fall without hopefully having any sort of lapses with the injury recovery or rehab. George Condit's an interesting case there too, in terms of, you know, what he looked like last season, someone that didn't have the greatest start to the year. And then I think as the season went on, really kind of grew and looked like he was playing some really good basketball towards the end of the year. So the question for him will be, can he carry it over into next season? Of course, we won't know the answer to that question until next fall. And then you get Kuntz and Jones. I think Kuntz is an interesting player. It's someone like a stretch big man, maybe a little bit more like a stretch four than more so like a five man like Robert Jones would be. Jones is very much someone like George Condit that is going to be a around the rim player, not someone that's going to step from beyond the 3-point arc and shoot the ball. But I think in general, it's really easy to classify this roster and see the continuity and maybe the big picture that TJ Altsenberger is going to look for with the roster. And I think if you looked at last year's roster, for example, in contrast, I think they're, to some degree, the pieces didn't always fit on last year's team. You look at Rasir Bolton, Jalen Coleman Lands, two guys that are kind of more off-ball guards who, if they had a good point guard next to them, would probably be really high quality players. And yet I think they were asked to maybe step out of their own comfort zones a little bit with Rasir Bolton in particular playing the point guard position. But now you look this year, you've got Tyrese Hunter, who I think is going to be a star for Iowa State. I've got real high hopes for what he could be in terms of just his on the floor ability and the impact he could make early on in his Iowa State career. It seems like in terms of the style of play, it's going to be a team that's going to try and, you know, get at other teams. I don't think this is an Iowa State team that's going to be like, you know, some of maybe the Fred Hoiberg teams that were high scoring and scoring above 80 on consistent bases. But I think that this is a team that will score, you know, around your 65 to 72 points a game, play good defense, be energetic, and try and get out in transition and make things happen in those transition opportunities. Because you look at the athleticism of this roster, the overall length of this roster, I think there are a lot of players that can create havoc on the defensive end for opposing teams. So I think it's easy to see the overall maybe vision that TJ Altsenberger wants to recruit to. It seems like down the road, they're going to get into being more of a open style, fast pace, you know, a little bit of pick and roll, but really trying to rely on multiple guards that can make things happen, which circles back to the Brockington addition, because he's someone that I think brings a little bit of both there. We mentioned the scoring earlier, but I think someone that could also maybe alleviate some of the playmaking ability from Tyrese Hunter. Obviously, freshman point guards are going to have their ups and downs and their lulls. It's just going to happen. You're a young point guard trying to figure it out at the high major level. And it wouldn't surprise me if Tyrese Hunter, you know, is going to have a lot of good games, but there will be times where, you know, once or twice throughout the season where he's just not going to have it. And you're going to need other players to step up and help with the creative aspect of things. And I think that's where maybe someone like Brockington, maybe Gabe Kauscher, not 100% certain on Kauscher yet in terms of ability as a playmaker, just some of the underlying numbers didn't necessarily indicate that he's someone that's going to be a playmaking guard. But he sounds like, and getting to talk to him, that he believes that he could. So I think how Iowa State approaches that kind of ball handling position will be interesting. But in terms of the long-term vision, I think you're seeing TJ Otzelberger recruit to playing an open style, a style that's going to play solid defense. You're going to rely on length, athleticism to make life hard on other teams and get out in transition with the athleticism that Iowa State was able to add this offseason. And at this point, I think the only thing you're missing if you're looking at the roster is consistent shooters. You know, we've talked a little bit about Brockington and Gabe Kauscher, but neither of them shot the ball well last season. And if you're expecting them to refine their old shooting form, that's fine. But in terms of the proven shooters on the roster, there aren't a ton of them. You know, is Caleb Grill going to shoot the ball like he did at UNLV, or is he going to shoot the ball like he did as a freshman at Iowa State? Granted, that was on a much smaller sample size. And then you really look up and down the roster, not a lot of guys that are shooting above 33% from three. So I think if you're looking at long-term what TJ Otzelberger, the style he wants to play, I think adding more shooters will be a priority going forward. But I think as things currently stand, that's really one of the only marks you can look at on the roster and say that that's a big question mark. So I think overall, it was a really quality offseason for TJ Otzelberger. I think you look up and down the roster, the overall quality of the roster has been raised. I don't think this roster is oozing with NBA guys, but I think it's oozing with guys that have the ability to play at the high major level consistently, which, again, you look at last year's team, you go 2-22, 0-19 against Big 12 opponents, and it's not hard to say that that team, in terms of the overall quality, wasn't there. And now you look at it, you've got guys with plenty of experience in Kauscher, in Brockington, and you've got some guys with high-end potential in terms of Hunter and Foster, guys with your kind of cornerstones, if you will, of the program. So I think a really successful offseason for TJ Otzelberger and the coaching staff, and an offseason that would be really exciting for Iowa State fans, just because I think you can see the overall talent of the roster. You can see the high-end potential of some of the players on the roster. Now, the only question will be, how will this all fit together? And those will be questions for another time when we get to talk to TJ Otzelberger again and getting to talk to players again later this summer. Be interesting to see how they all adapt together and what maybe the overall style will be for this fall. But that's going to do it for today's podcast. Thank you, as always, for listening. Really excited to have the podcast platform back. And if you like what you heard, give us a follow on iTunes, and we will talk to you next time.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.